Really, I think I did. Yeah,
a nephew, niece and nephew she's living with. Yeah. The youngest son got killed in a car.
He lived. No. Oh, he died too. Normally.
Only one. Only one car. He just
wasn't. I'm saying normally the car lived.
I know.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to call her, but I will.
be. I hope you've enjoyed the week of Jubilee. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
You may be a little tired in the body, but praise the Lord, we're stronger in the spirit because of the week that we've had. Amen.
Amen.
And then we had to go into the time change the first Sunday right out of the week. And it was raining outside. You heard that? Thought, man, it'd be good to sleep in this morning. But thank the Lord you didn't. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The choir's going to do a couple of more songs this morning. And we're just excited at what the Lord's done. And I'm thankful for one thing for sure. And that is the Lord's still in the soul-saving business. A big amen right there?
Amen.
Oh, you got to do better than that. I'm glad the Lord's still in the soul saving business. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm thankful for the three souls that were saved this week. And it would let you know that you can still be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? It's what washes away all of our sins and causes us to be born into the family of God. We're going to go back and sing that song this morning. It says, I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Everybody this morning, and again I want to say it's good to be in the house of the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful, tremendous Jubilee meeting we just experienced this past week. And again, the three souls that got saved, the special time of prayer we had also during the week, and all the other conversations and times of fellowship over dinner. It was just a very, very good week this past week. And thank you all so much for coming and being a part of that. Thanks to everyone that took part in Jubilee 2023. What an absolute blessing, Sunday through Thursday, it was from start to finish. Thank you for all of those who helped prepare meals each and every night. And let me just say, that was done with such love and such passion for the Lord, who was evidently seen. Those who worked in the nursery, Brother Brian, and whoever may have assisted him in Junior Jubilee, we're just so very thankful for all the helping hands around here. All the musicians, the choir, the ladies ensemble, our youth, God bless you and thank you so much for being on point and being ready to be used by the Lord. And it was a great week. And we're so very thankful for the week we've had. Like Brother Allen said, we were tired a little bit in body, and then the time change. But I was talking with Brother David Henderson just a moment ago, and we were kind of talking about the same thing. I said, that's okay, I'm getting ready to turn into a tornado here in a minute and wake myself up. But anyway, the spirit is very much so awake and alert. This old flesh we drag around sometimes has to catch up. Let me just do a little recap of the messages we heard starting this time last week. Brother Snyder preached on God's nudges. Then last Sunday night, Brother Sammy preached on God's interruptions. Monday night, Michael Suit preached on God's dock work. On Tuesday, Brother Smith preached on God's supper, talked about the table talk. And then Brother Josh on Wednesday night preached on God's Jubilee. And then Brother Kenny on our closing night on Thursday preached on God's chapters, talking about Job. And so there was something for everybody in those messages. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And Justin, I wanted to mention real quick the anonymous.
Go ahead.
Yes. I left this out of your Bible this morning. But we just want to thank everybody. You know who you are. You're anonymous. But for those that donated, for the one that donated to cover all the meals each night, in addition to all the ladies and everyone that provided the drinks and the dessert, but for the one, the very one that donated the full ticket for us to go and take care of the Sam's Run in full, we greatly appreciate that. For the anonymous that donated all the TVs in the hallways, we appreciate that dearly. For the new kitchen floor, you know who you are, we appreciate that. It was very much needed. For the anonymous who donated the landscape in the front yard, yes, we can't thank you enough. For the new carpet outside of the two main door entrances, take notice of that if you haven't. It's absolutely beautiful and very much needed. And like Justin said, thank you says it best. Thank you from my heart and from our pastor's heart. Thank you very much for helping this vision that Justin's had for the past 6 years of these things being in place for this Jubilee to come to pass. We love you all dearly.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And today is also a special day for a young lady who's celebrating a birthday. Let's see who that is. Presley. Yeah. Everybody may not know who Presley is. Some of the visitors today may not know. So that's the birthday girl who just stood up. So we appreciate that. Appreciate that. Continue to remember Brother Snyder as he recovers from his back surgery. Miss Marianne, Cindy on the 22nd. And also remember one of the ones that got saved this past week, Ashton, she was so excited about Jubilee getting saved, she went out and broke her foot, broke her leg. She's in the sound room with her first broken bone ever. We're not celebrating that, but she did come in on crutches, and so let's remember her in prayer, her recovery on that. I did hear one time, Ashton, that a bone that's been broken when it heals is stronger than it was before. So that's what I heard. And also, we got a voicemail from Miss Marianne, Miss Mary Kelly. Miss Marianne, remind me again,
the niece and nephew that she's living with, their youngest son was killed in a car accident, and he was drunk driving. He was the drunk driver. There was nobody else involved. Just
Miss Mary Kelly, living with her nephew and niece, right. Their youngest son got hit by a drunk driver, and the son died and the drunk driver died. And so let's pray for her family during this time and remember them. All right, well, this is a brand new start, a brand new service, and we do have something we want to share this morning. We are intentional in our sermons, and so we're going to share something this morning. We feel the Lord has put on our hearts for this service for today, this morning. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Oh God, we thank you for it all. It's easy to thank you for the good stuff, but it's harder to thank you for the hard stuff. But according to Scripture, we're commanded to thank you for it all, or at least to thank you in it all. And so, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you did in Jubilee. Lord, we're reminded that Jubilee can be every day because it's for the individual. Lord, I pray that we would stay revived. Those who may not have been revived, I pray they would get revived. But there may be someone here today that doesn't even know what I'm talking about being revived. I pray that if they don't know you personally, if there's no assurance in their heart of heaven when they die, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, that they would seek out help while they're here. If that's what they need to lead them in the Scriptures, down the Romans road, Lord. So, Father, you do what seems best. We love you today. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
I couldn't help but think as Christy gave that wonderful announcement about Anonymous. Those that do things behind the scenes that don't want to be, you know, in the spotlight, whether they do so many things for God. Those that are willing to give above and beyond to help the cause of Christ and the church. And God has just been so good. Amen. And those people will be the first to say, you know what, it's all for Him. Amen. Because God's been good to me. Won't you stand with me and let's sing that chorus, choir stand, church stand, let's sing. God is so good.
Thank you.
church, you can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Please remember the service this evening at 5. There'll be no choir practice this evening. And so just remember that, give the choir a little bit of a break. And they've worked so hard this week. I am so thankful for the choir. You find you a choir member sometime, somewhere today, and say, you know what? I just want to thank you for your faithfulness. They've been so faithful over the past weeks, especially, to learn new songs, and we had new songs all through the week. I'm very thankful for that. Not only am I thankful for the choir, but I am so thankful for our musicians and their faithfulness. And you heard people say it all through the week, all the different choirs that came. Man, you've got a great bunch of musicians. They tried to steal Jackson, put him in a suitcase, take him home with him, you know, and I understand that. But we are so thankful for our musicians. We just got a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful for my pastor this morning. He gets to follow that week of preaching. Amen. I'm glad that's not me this morning. But what a great week we have had. We could just go on and on. But I'm thankful for what the Lord's done. But I'm looking forward for what the Lord's going to do now. Amen. So let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering. Father, we love you. We praise you. Lord, you have been so good. Lord, you allowed your Holy Spirit to be with us this week in a powerful way. And for that, Lord, we want to say thank you. Lord, we're thankful that you are still convicting hearts and drawing people to the cross and to Calvary. Calvary the Hill as well as Calvary the Church. Thank you for the souls that were saved. Lord, help us to be a good witness down to them. Lord, help us to just take them now under our wings. And Lord, help them in their new walk and their new endeavors for Christ. Be with them in a powerful way. Lord, be with those that are sick, unable to be here today. Lord, those that may be going through a difficult time, maybe soon to undergo surgeries. Lord, you know all about every situation. But Lord, I'm also glad to know that you're the great healer. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you have touched. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to be with us. Now, Lord, be with our pastor this morning. Touch him. Lord, I pray that you would help him to deliver more of that which you've given to him. May our hearts and minds be open to receive it. Save someone else, Lord, and now be our prayer. Lord, maybe someone in the service this morning might realize, hey, you know what? I should have came this week myself, and I'm going to come this morning, except the Lord is my Savior. Lord, that would be our prayer. Lord, again, touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, accept our worship and our praise today. Thank you for all that will be said, all that will be done. May it point us, Lord, closer to you and closer to Calvary. We'll praise you. We'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
singing this morning, say amen.
Amen. Just want to remind everyone that this is the
Lord's house. Yes, we're having children's church.
And whatever Jeff said. And so we're here to worship, and we're going to continue that with one more song. And so you pray for them. Blessed man this morning. Even when I lose, I'm winning. We'll get that here in a minute. being a born-again believer, we may have some bad days. We may have some days we feel like we failed, but being on Jesus' team, we're still winning.
Yeah.
Amen. Even when I lose, I'm winning. That sounds like a good title for a song. Who knows what I might come up with today. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate you. Appreciate the one visiting with us today. Make yourself at home. All right, let's make our way to the book of James, chapter number 3. Book of James, chapter number 3. And let's remember Ceylon as well. He had to sit out singing this morning because of his sugar level. And Miss Cassie, you have to keep an eye on him.
Yes, I know.
Along with Miss Gaffer. But anyway, he's nothing new to him. He knows how to regulate the bat. The book of James, chapter number 3. I want to bow for a word of prayer. And I want to share something with you that is burning on my heart this morning. In fact, I was up about 3:30 or 4 a.m. on my back porch. No lights on, just listening to the rainfall, nice and cool, and just me and the Lord. And this may be part one. We may do part two tonight, or we may just end it with part one. I don't know. And the message this morning is just a great reminder to all of us. To all of us, we've been church long enough to hear everything that's already been preached and re-preached. And so this is just a subject that I want to share this morning and hope to be a blessing. Father, we love you today. I pray that you bless your word, honor your word as you always do. Lord, and I pray that you would use your word. Father, so that we might fortify ourselves, Lord. I'm not subject, Father, to not fail. Everyone in here can fail. But also, me and everyone in here can succeed. And so, Father, we want to be successful Christians today and the days that follow. So I pray that you'd give me a clear head and a calm heart. Get me out of the way, Lord. Let me not say anything that's not from you and everything that is from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to read in James chapter 3 in just a moment. But I want to talk about a certain member this morning. This member that I want to talk about has a lot of potential. They have the potential to say very encouraging things, but also very hurtful things. And sometimes this member can be confusing and even stubborn. This member is in our church. Let me give you a couple hints who they are. Number one, they're little. Number two, they don't always come out and show themselves. But they're here every time the doors open. I want to talk to you this morning about the little member. The little member. Or the tongue. The tongue. This little member can do three things. Number one, it can cut. Number two, it can cure. But it also can confuse. This little member. I have no intention other than just rearing back and preaching this message this morning, line upon line, precept upon precept. And as I said, I think sometimes it's good to go back to the elementary things of the Word of God. None of us are above being guilty of cutting with our tongue. And I really enjoyed the meeting this week. I really did. God had a mixed bag for me, I think. But we enjoyed it, and we gleaned everything out of that bag. And so this morning I want to mention, the first thing, and that is that the little member can cut. The Lord willing, tonight, unless God changes my mind, I want to talk about the little member can cure, along with the little member can confuse. Just to be clear, and to prevent anything from any spiritual satanic interference here, there may be a reference to what I'm talking about that happened this week to me, but it wasn't on any day but the last day, on Thursday, when we were closing up the doors. And so I want to get that out of the way, just in case anybody's wondering, did I say something? Did I say, no. Mm. No. But I did have a mixed bag, and there was something said to me personally on the very last day by mail. And don't worry, you ain't going to know who it is because it's over with. And someone told me one time when I preached, don't be so candid. Well, I have to say this, I'm going to be myself. Because I do think that what I'm going to preach this morning can help us if we listen with open ears and from the pages of God's Word. I want you to notice in chapter number 3, let's begin reading in verse number 1 down to verse number 10. The Bible says in James 3, verse number 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. I'm going to stop there this morning in verse number 8. This isn't my typical Sunday morning, hurrah, let's go get them, church message. But I do think that there is life and death in the tongue. And I do think that we don't have to say everything that comes to our minds. I learned that myself a long time ago. That just because I have a thought, that don't mean I have to say it. I have to first must filter my thoughts through God's Word. But this morning I want to talk about, first of all, the little member can cut. And again, we're going to go line by line. Precept on top of precept. Look at verse number 1. He says, my brethren, be not many masters.
knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now the word masters here is the same word for teacher or instructor. And James is writing to us and he's saying, don't be quick to instruct. He says, because the one who instructs will be held accountable for what he says. My brethren, be not many masters. My brethren, be not many instructors. Be not many teachers. Why? Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation or the greater judgment. Now, let me just say, this verse is not forbidding one from instructing one or reproving one in a Christian way for doing wrong. This verse is not saying you can't do that. But I do believe what this verse is saying, that we ought to do that with caution. My brethren, be not many masters, be not many instructors, because we will be held accountable for what we say. One of the things I've learned a lot in church, and I'm talking about way before Calvary, is there are times when people instruct people based upon their own principles, not God's principles, not Bible principles. For example, if I tell you this morning that I hate mayo, and I'm hesitant to use the word hate because it's a strong word, but that's how I feel about mayonnaise. I really do. It makes me feel like this. I mean, I know there's some mayonnaise lovers in the house, but I isn't one of them. The Duke's commercials doesn't do me well. And I can be so against mayo, I can tell you it's from the devil. I can tell you you are wrong for eating it. And there might be a chance that you may feel bad about eating it. This is just a silly illustration. You catch my drift. Some people say it's wrong to go to the movie theater and watch movies. Some people say it doesn't matter. Listen. We're talking about legalism. We're talking about people's own personal preferences versus the Word of God. You tell me what the Word of God says, I stand corrected. I tell you what the Word of God says, you stand corrected. And so James says, my brethren, be not many masters. Be not many teachers or instructors. Why, James? Because you will be held accountable for what comes out of the mouth. And so we see in verse number 1, as we're looking line upon line, the very beginning of this little member, as it's ready to say something, it's wanting to talk, it's wanting to say something, it's wanting to sorry, when I'm tired I get a little silly. And I'm tired this morning. Wanting to be a master, wanting to be a teacher, wanting to instruct, just be careful if you're ever in a position where you give instruction. Make sure it is Bible referenced. Now, look at verse number 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Brother Justin, what is he talking about here? Able to bridle the whole body. Well, first of all, he tells us what the problem is. The tongue is the problem. Notice what he says. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word. So if there's a person who is not offending in word and is able to bridle his tongue, his mouth,
He's able to bridle the whole body. The Bible will control the whole his whole body. But what he's saying is it has to do with speech, is what I'm getting at. If any man offend not in word, he says, for in many things we offend all. What is he talking about? What kind of offenses? Well, he's talking about a word offense. A word offense. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Talking about this little member that is getting busy. Now notice, let's look a little deeper in verse number 2. He says many things, for in many things, for in many ways, many forms. Then there is the word offend, for in many ways, many forms. We offend. The word offend means to trip up. It means cause to stumble. It means to hurt. So he says, and he uses we because he himself must have been guilty. For in many things we offend all. In many ways, in many fashions, in many forums, we trip up others. We cause them to stumble. We cause hurt. He says, we do this as humans. And let me just say, we absolutely do. I'm not an innocent man this morning. There's been times where people's come to me and said, Brother Justin, you offended me. I said, please tell me what. That's not my even back before I got saved, I was a tender-hearted, polite person, believe it or not, until I got on drugs and alcohol. Before I got saved. And then when I got saved, I was still a tender-hearted, polite person. And so it really takes a lot for me to say something and listen. Sometimes I don't even need a lot pressed upon me to say something rude to somebody. I'm carnal. I'm living in a house of flesh. I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. And sometimes it gets hard dealing with this body that I live in. And it does for you as well. Sometimes I say things and sometimes you say things that hurts people's feelings, that says stuff that shouldn't be said. James says, we, in many things, we offend all. Ain't no one in here innocent. At one time or the other, on purpose or by just not even knowing you did it, you've offended someone. And what does the Bible say about being offended? That you go to that person and you tell them their fault. And now the ball is in their court for restoration. This is all I want to say about my Thursday night experience. And I'm done with this sentence. Paragraph, whatever. Someone said something very inappropriate to me. I couldn't believe they said what they said to me. And I got angry. This is not the first time someone's told me this before. Me, to my face. And it's past Brother Ceylon being sad and crying about it. Now I'm just angry about it. They said this, and listen, all this good old boy syndrome, hey, no, I didn't know no better. Yes, you did know better. Yes, you did know better. I pulled him to the side after church Thursday night to a room, probably three times, at least twice, almost twice my age. I said, look, mister, you offended me, and you have no idea of my daily struggle with by which you offended me. Oh, my dear brother, please forgive me. Oh, you're forgiven, because this isn't about you. This is about me, because I want to go to church on Sunday. I want to be able to preach. I want to be able to pray,
And you see, I have a problem with praying, and I have a problem with preaching if I'm bitter on the inside. So therefore, the Bible says to go to that person. If they've offended you, so I went. They said, well, Brother Justin, I can't sleep tonight. I'm saying, well, can I give you a word of advice? What you told me, don't say to nobody else. Learn from what you told me. This is the God's honest truth. This literally happened to me. What you told me as a favor to me, I didn't raise my voice, but as a favor to me, please don't tell anybody else this, because just because they don't look like you, just because they don't talk like you and act like you, doesn't mean you can pick on them. Somebody needs to stand and hold people accountable. And it's not the good old boy syndrome. Oh, I'm from the country. We pick around. No, no, no. I guarantee you that man, he will wallow in that, although he's forgiven. He will be a bigger fruit bearer. Do you hear what I said? He will be more mature after that. Because he was mildly rebuked by a younger man who was offended. I think that God wants us to know this morning, on the first Sunday, just after Jubilee, that we got to be careful about this little member and what we say. Also, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. Be careful, little feet, where you go, because there's a real devil this morning that wants to get you. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Hey, he said in many things we offend. For many things we offend all. Then he says if. He says if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now, the word perfect doesn't mean I've arrived. Let me go to the K&G Brother Kenny went to get me a suit that is pristine because I've arrived. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that, does it, son? It means mature. It means have mental or moral character. And listen, this is a job of taming the tongue. This is a daily maintenance of taming the tongue. Verse 8 even says that the tongue cannot be tamed. And he's not talking about it is impossible. He's just talking about how hard the task is. And so he says that if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man or a person who does not offend others. He's talking about offending others. If any man offend not in word, the same is a mature person, mature man, having mental or moral character, and is also and able also to bridle the whole body. The word bridle here means to restrain. You show me someone who can control their speech, I'll show you someone with a Christ-like life. What is character? Character is what you're doing when no one's looking. You show me someone who has words of wisdom and words of encouragement, and someone who does shoot straight with you when you need to be shot straight with, when you need to be told what's right, when you need to be mildly rebuked. And I'll show you someone who has an excellent moral existence at home. Character is what you are when no one's looking. It doesn't matter what, I mean, listen, this is very important up here. But what's even equally important, if not a tad more important, is what I am outside of here. Is what I am, what your pastor is at home. Well, does he study? Does he pray? Does he visit? Does he make phone calls? Or is he laid up on the couch watching stuff he shouldn't be watching? Is he listening to stuff he shouldn't be listening? Is he going to places he shouldn't be going? Listen, that's important, and this is important. They're both important. But someone who someone who has a speech that is right, someone who knows how to control this little member, is someone who has moral excellence at home. It says, if any man offend not in word. So he's talking about being offensive with our speech. He says, show me a man who doesn't do this, or not often. May Justin Hales just add, not often. The same is a perfect man is also able to restrain or bridle the whole body. Talking about the little member this morning. The little member. This little member is able to encourage. This little member is able to hurt. This little member is able also to confuse. We'll get into that later. Now, notice in verse number 3, the word behold here. Behold. There's a behold in verse 3. Also in verse 4. And then in verse number 5. And we're going to stop in verse 5. But in verse 3 he says, behold. Or pay close attention. We put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. What is he talking about? Horses and bits. Well, I got to looking on the laptop last night. I had an idea what a bit was. We have a friend who has a little dog named Bit. So I got to think about a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I looked up Bit. And it's headgear for a horse, but it also has like a some kind of bar that runs between the back in the mouth. It clamps tight. And so that when the rider is on the horse, it can control it. Whoa, Nelly. Nelly was right there. I had to use it. Whoa, Nelly. This way, Mustang. You know, Mustang is a horse. I didn't know that about a couple years ago. Hitty up, hitty up, hitty up. All that for a reason. Because animals are wild at heart. They must be controlled. And in order to control the horse and to get what you want out of it, you have to put the headgear, you have to put the bit in the mouth, and you have to learn how to operate that. Miss Darlene, I think about the faucets, the horse riding. Great illustration. Lily, about this tall now. But I remember when she was like this. Somewhere around there. In between. Riding with girls. Y'all remember riding horses? How exciting that was. I am about to be either 41 or 42. And I still never rode a horse. I've never rode a horse. I've never flown in a plane. The folks I've been in Mississippi. I need to get out a little bit. We've had Jubilee. I think we're going to go somewhere in a couple years, I think. Anyway, I'll stop meddling. He says he puts the bits. Verse number 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. We as humans, we're wild at heart. We just say whatever's on our mind. You low down, dirty man. Why would I say that? I said because it was in my mind. Well, don't we understand that we're in a warfare as Christians? That the mind is not saved, but the heart is? Jesus saves our heart. He doesn't save our minds, but our minds must be renewed with the Word of God in prayer. And so when someone says something to me that's very offensive, I say there's a person who hasn't been regular in prayer. There's a person who hasn't spent time in their Bible. And I know better not to say nothing back to them. And so I try down through the years to be able to go from a hothead when God first saved me. And I didn't know anything about being offended or whatnot. I just... 20 years ago, I tell somebody like it is. Hey, I'm a rough boy from Osborne, a dropout who got saved. What do you expect? But through the process of time, God has shown me there is a right way and a wrong way. And before God, I tell you this morning that what I had to deal with the other day, it was held in the right way. And I pray that he's a greater fruit bearer because of it. I pray he never says anything to anybody hurtful again. Listen, we have kids. We have teenagers who feel like they'll never amount to anything. And all it takes is one wrong word and they're thinking about suicide. Let us be the kind of person who uplifts and encourages and has words of grace and words of peace. Don't let us stab each other with our tongues. The Bible even says in verse number 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Poison. Venom. The tongue is full of deadly poison. Another word for poison is venom. It's through the idea of a snake bite. Now, I've never been bit by a snake. I'll plan on it. But I have watched plenty of Billy the Exterminators. That's old school A&E. There used to be a show on A&E called Snake Salvation out in the hills of West Virginia, maybe, or Kentucky. They would handle snakes in their services. Don't worry. We ain't getting close to that. I'm not knocking anybody, but I'm telling you the show was called Snake Salvation. They would go out and they would find snakes, and when God would move on them in the service, they would handle those snakes. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just saying that the pastor died. In all seriousness and with deep respect, the pastor died. They discontinued the show. The pastor, and again, we're not knocking anybody, any denomination, what they believe in. Listen, I can fellowship with the Church of God. I can fellowship with the Church of Christ. I can fellowship with the Church of the Nazarene if they all believe that Jesus is the way to heaven. We may disagree on speaking in tongues. We may disagree on baptism as a means for salvation. We may disagree on handling snakes. But if you believe that Jesus is the way to heaven, we can celebrate together, worship together. But that pastor died in his bed believing that God would heal him. In my book, that's tempting God. And so, in like manner, is the little members that's in all of our bodies. It is like a snake if we're not careful. It can bless, but it can curse. It can put poison inside someone's soul and heart, and it will take only moments for them to be discouraged and depressed. Child of God, listen to me. Let's be encouragers this morning.
Amen.
Let's be encouragers. I should put me in Jubilee. I would love to preach in Jubilee. Whatever. I'm enjoying myself. So we see. Verse number 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Verse 4, behold, pay close attention. Also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Let me just say a passing word in verse number 4, if I could. In verse number 4, we see the ships. Notice the word helm here. More laptop images from Google I had to pull up. I knew what a helm was, but I want to be exactly right what a helm was. A helm, it's basically a steering wheel. Under the boat, though, there is a rudder or flap. Based upon which way you turn the steering wheel will dictate the rudder in which way it goes. And those men who drive those boats who are on the sea, they know all of those things. Nowadays they've got radars and navigation systems. They see a storm coming there. That rudder's turned this way, they're turning that wheel, they got a knob on it, they turn. We're not going that way, boys, we're not going that way. There's a bad storm coming. They straighten back up. Everything is blue skies. Everything is nice. Okay, so there's the helm. There's the steering wheel. And the rudder is located where it's located. Some are in the front, awkwardly enough. Most are in the back. And so he says, talking about this little member, behold also the ships, which though they be so great, big ships, people are still diving down to find stuff on the Titanic. There was a man, a deep diver explorer who somehow he dropped a line 500 feet down, and there was some boat down there that had gold. How about our next get together? We gonna do that?
Yeah.
Some of y'all look at me so serious, like I mean telling you the truth. Now, y'all know I really need a break if I go do that. No, I don't need that kind of break. So he's big old ship, Titanic, all started right there in the front with the wheel. That wheel controls the whole boat. He's talking about the same concept here in similarity. He's talking about the tongue. The person that can control the tongue can control their conduct. And let me just add that if I was a captain of a ship and I seen a storm coming, or if there was a potential, if I seen the radar go, beep, 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 Captain Justin, you may want to go right because you're headed toward Panama City Beach and there is a hurricane coming. I don't want to see what I'm made out of. I don't say, bless God, we're going to face it head on. Let's go. No, you know what I'm going to do? Turn that thing around, and we're going back to the dock, wherever that's at, and we're going to park that thing. Or if I'm out in the middle of the sea, then we're going to go in the opposite direction. I got to tell another quick story. Y'all know me. I didn't start out preaching here telling stories, but the more comfortable I get, the more stories I tell. So thank you for making me comfortable. The Martins and our family, 1 year went, and down to Florida for a few years. And me and CJ, Jackson and Carter, thought we'll go midnight fishing. And so we bought our tickets. It was like an 8-hour event. We got on the boat at 4. We came back after midnight. Now, we were sitting out eating seafood. We were all, it's exciting. Me and CJ, yeah. But on the inside, I was a little bit like, oh, what if? What if that thing breaks down in the middle of the sea? And so I remember, bless his heart, we hadn't even left the canal yet. We just pulled out of Captain Anderson's. And Carter's like, I'll be so glad when this is over. I'll be so glad when this is over. The boat was literally rocking like this. We hadn't got out of the bay yet. And I said, buddy, CJ and I both tried to console him. And we were on the top deck. If you tried to walk down them steep stairs in that boat doing that, there are fishermen all around that boat with fish hooks. If you slip, you're a fish that's been caught. It's terrible. It's terrible conditions. But I can remember I had a moment where I was full of anxiety. Okay, y'all don't tell anybody. I had a moment where I was full of anxiety. We were out there, and we were getting ready to come back. I had hooked something massive. CJ still might have the video. The pole I had was almost snapped in half, and it was the strongest pole, the thickness of that camera stand leg. I mean, everybody, the captain came out, he was looking. "Ooh, what do you got there?" And then after at least 30 minutes, I was literally, some think it was a 500 to 1,000 pound fish. I started seeing something glow and come to the surface. It was amazing. And then a line broke. And so now I was nauseated from all that reeling and all that rocking. And I went inside and I sat down, ordered a couple cheeseburgers. Couple Cokes, and I said, "Lord," it just hit me that we're out in the middle of the ocean, and I lost the love of my life, I lost the love of my life when that line broke. I said, "But Lord, if this boat goes down, I'm gone, we're all gone." And I want to tell you, I had a moment where I had to get myself together. So I looked up and I saw the life vest, and then on the back there was a couple rafts that were pre-blown up. In my head, I was going to grab CJ and the boys and immediately jump on one of them rafts and take off. Christy, Amanda. Thank you for indulging me. You know what? I needed that. I needed to make myself laugh. Thank you. The ship from the helm is able to turn the whole ship. He's going back to that original thought. That original thought is a person that is able to not offend in word. It's the same person who has moral excellence and character. They're not just show on the front, but they are who they say they are in the back. Let me mention something else. I'll be through. Verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse number 5, he says, even so, the tongue is a little member, like the little bit, like the little helm. The tongue is a little member and boasteth great things, talks big, is the other word there. Boasteth great things, talks big. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know what that phrase means? Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It just simply means how great a problem a little tongue can cause. The words great a matter, how great a matter, has to do with a forest. And then, of course, where it says a little fire kindleth. Fire kindleth meaning a fire that starts. You already know about the California wildfires. And I believe I heard not too long ago one of them was started by someone striking a match and did it on purpose. In between its own natural ways of starting a wildfire, by the heat and dryness of the forest, the woods, the plains. But someone just struck a match for kicks. They threw it out the window. And I mean, they spent months trying to put that fire out. The Bible's talking about this little member, and this little member can do a world of hurt, but also it can do a world of good. So we got this part out this morning. The Lord willing, we'll talk about the other part tonight and see what the Lord may have for us. Of course, it may change my mind. We'll do something different. But as we stand to our feet, Father, we love you today. We thank you. I thank you, God, for the few moments that we had together around your word. A little more storytelling than I normally do, but thank you, God. It's done my soul well. I pray that you would also minister to the others. Lord, I pray their souls are well. That's what it's about. It's about them. It's not about me. I just pray, Lord, that you'd move in a mighty way this morning. Do what you need to do, God. Uplift, encourage, challenge, and change will be our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to come, the altars are open.
Now.
come. If really the invitation is for anything that's on your heart, anything. They want to come and give the Lord praise, whatever it is. Sunday morning, but preach what's on your heart. Leave the rest up to the Lord. All right. Anything to mention before we close? All right. Again, no choir practice. Choir has the night off from that. Fantastic job, as Brother Allen already said. And those that would meet us back at 5 o'clock, and we'll gather around God's Word one more time before we start a brand new week. All right. Like everybody's ready, we'll be dismissing a word of prayer, and everyone will be safe this afternoon.
Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to be in your house today. Lord, thank you for the message and the messenger. Lord, you know always exactly what we need. Lord, I pray that maybe we'll take a nugget from the message today and be a help to us in the days to come. Lord, I pray again that you'd be with us as we now depart to our separate ways. Keep us safe. Bring us back to your house this evening at 5. Lord, give us a great day. Keep us safe again, Lord. And we'll praise you. Thank you for all you do.